How would you describe the key objectives of the convention?
Well, the key objectives, as I understand them, whether it's in practice or in theory, is that it seeks to link state parties to the international fora. In other words, it is a mechanism, one, that is hinged, obviously, on, as it says, protection of heritage of a special type, which would have been identified as of outstanding universal value, using different criteria that are outlined in the operational guidelines of the convention. But I think the centerpiece of it is the relationship between the state and the international community. And it is there that you find very interesting developments. And I've just been to this 34th conference, and you can really see the tensions between the state party and the international. What the expectations of state parties vis-a-vis the expectations of the global community is captured in the overall committee. Secondly, I think increasingly, I also can say that the convention is a lot in terms of building, to bringing together, a family spirit, in which really you have, it's a forum in which we can all be at one in understanding general principles of that of the convention. That is the ideal. What I find a little bit difficult, however, is the fact that increasingly this common approach seems to be dissipating. We now have, I'm sorry to say, I know that it's a confidential thing, but I have no doubt that I don't mind it being said. The original intentions seem to be giving way more to the political dimensions. That which pushed us, most of us, to really look at the convention as a solution to many of our situations is increasingly moving away as we, for example, come to new systems, blocks, and so forth. That and regrettably, I see this trend going, that seeming to marginalize the core issues that the convention should be looking at. And I find it regrettable because, you know, we are making serious efforts, for example, in the context of a progressive instrument or mechanism, which we came up with. And I was one of the chaps who was involved in coming up with a concept paper, the implementation of the World Heritage Convention in Africa, which was adopted by the World Heritage Committee in 2005 and was accepted by the Assembly of State Parties the same year, and it took the unusual step of being accepted by the General Conference of UNESCO the same year. And for the first time ever, you had a convention that was endorsed, and this only one that was endorsed by the African Union head of state level in January 2006. And with it, was the acceptance that, one, the heritage, world heritage primarily belong to states, to state parties. But in this context, that as African countries, we had something in common. So let's come up together and come up with a mechanism or a tool to ensure that the presence of the convention in Africa was real. And this position paper, which, as I said, was adopted by all those channels, identified the current weaknesses. Why is it things that were not going okay? And it's put to the fore the fact that state parties themselves had to bear the blame. Then it also looked at other partners in the World Wages Committee, the advisory bodies, and private sector and partners. So, and then we then realized that one of the things that was a problem for Africa was the resource problem. And so attended to that, we said, okay, how can we address the issues arising from inadequacy of resources, awareness, and so forth? And that's when we came up with the idea of an Africa World Wages Fund, of which you are the first patron. It's only African countries themselves that can take the lead in making the presence of and implementation of the convention in Africa a reality.